morning, everybody. It's good to be back in the pod lab today. I explained to Dad what pod lab is, and I said it jokingly, and I explained to him that basically it's like, you know, the Batcave or the Situation Room or the pod lab.
He said pod lab, and I thought he was talking about drugs or something. That's just how old I am. So,
but yep.
I was like, what is he talking about? But anyway, sure glad to be back, though.
It is. It's going to be back recording again here, and another beautiful Thursday afternoon. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that's for sure.
Well, we've been talking about a few different things, and we've talked about, we've been talking a lot about what it means in Josh chapter number one, the promises of God. We've been talking a lot about how to be more mentally tough, these last couple episodes we've covered. But today we kind of want to throw you guys for a bit of a curveball and talk to you guys about something that's pretty popular in today's media. You can't watch a movie, you can't listen to a podcast, you can't get on the internet without seeing something about aliens anymore. And we're going to talk about aliens.
Yeah.
We're going to bust into this topic and talk about what's really going on, all the nefarious deeds, all the all the people coming from Krypton.
Nefarious.
Yeah, all the evil works, and sure. We're going to get into this today. And, you know, honestly, the real reason we want to talk about this is because right now we're seeing a big push in our society about this thing about aliens and beings that exist from another world, another dimension, another creation. And it's been a big thing with Christians, and it's been a thing that's been going around in churches. And we just kind of want to take a minute here and just share with you guys what the Bible has to say, what the real truth is behind all this stuff, and why it's important to know what's really going on. And I appreciate if you guys give us your heart today. Our pastor's done a lot of study on this, and so I think the first thing we were to talk about, Dad, is the time you were abducted. And you were
it was Elvis flying the plane, and Bigfoot was on there with him. And so at least that's what my daddy used to always say. So
yeah,
and he used to always call up and leave a message going, "Hey, bud, I'm on another planet here, and Elvis abducted me on a UFO, and Bigfoot was with him." And
well, let's hope he doesn't listen, give away all your secrets.
So, but anyway, though, but yeah, it, the subject of aliens is definitely one that I think a lot of Christians, for the most part, probably have a pretty consistent view about, but I think sometimes it's kind of difficult to kind of navigate, and I think it's a good idea to just look at a few things that the scripture says and kind of deduct and determine from there what we're going to believe, so.
Absolutely, I 100% agree. I think that the Bible should be our basis for truth. And I believe that I believe anything should be divided by the Bible. The Bible should be the common divider there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Scripture makes it pretty clear that we need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, and so it's very important that we be able to find it a balance through the Scripture. And if we can't do that, we're in trouble.
Absolutely.
So then that's how cults get formed, and that's how all kinds of messed up dogmatic type positions take hold, and that really messes up people. We see a lot of movements today that have not been able to rightly divide the word of truth and get caught up in some particular aspect of Christianity and go overboard and extreme in that, and then it wrecks people's lives. And I've seen many of marriages and families and things like that get so extreme in things that it just opens the door to the devil come in and torment them, and it could just be avoided if we just be a little wiser, trying to rightly divide the word of truth. And so it's amazing how such a small problem becomes such a big problem in just a generation or two.
Absolutely. But I guess first thing we're going to talk about here this morning, or I guess this afternoon, well, you guys will be hearing this in the morning or watching it in the morning. But anyway, I guess the first thing we're going to talk about is the history of aliens. They're everywhere. They've been in all sorts of media and paintings and being cited and...
Yeah, that's
and,
true. That's true.
You know, and it's not just my family who's seen them.
Yeah, and we've all got that southern uncle that's been on a ride somewhere, right? But anyway, though, I know I've had a, at least where I come from, Bigfoot sightings, and a lot of times people are about the angels of death, or, you know, the, what do they call it, the Grim Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that when I was growing up. People talk about that kind of stuff, and aliens, of course, is always a big one and stuff. But yeah, when it comes to aliens, I guess if I understand correctly, alien life form is something that's a foreign life form, or what they believe. And I believe the government spent a large amount of money on just trying to send out messages to and throughout the universe to see if we're alone.
I mean, you go to, back to, I think it's Voyager 2. They put the golden record plates and how to play them on the Voyager 2 and send it out. I think it's Voyager 2.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Solid gold records.
Yeah, you know, and things of that nature. And so there's been a lot of that kind of thing. And when you have a vast universe like we have, it's easy just to kind of, the Bible says not to lean on our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. But it's easy to just kind of lean on your own understanding and think, well, it's such a vast universe. Surely we're not alone, you know?
I think it's just natural. I think it's just the natural man where we seek to understand and to know. We're always trying to pursue knowledge and understanding.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just natural for a man to want to take the Bible and take what he understands and try to meld the two.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly where Aaron went wrong. He took his Egyptian's beliefs and his Egyptian experiences, and then he took his experiences with God and tried to marry him, and he comes up with a golden calf. And that golden calf ends up, you know, causing so much trouble. And we have a lot of people today, preachers especially, and it's sad for us, but preachers especially, they're preaching golden calf Jesus's and having people walk aisles and receive this Jesus as their Savior, but it's not the real Jesus, it's their golden calf. And so maybe it is, maybe that is Jesus that they get saved, but then they bought into the religion, this golden calf, and so they think Jesus is a certain way, and they just don't recognize, and they're just confused, and it's troublesome, and many will walk away just thinking, well, maybe it wasn't real or whatever, and it's just damning and in all kinds of ways and stuff, and so we see that kind of thing. But like you said, they meld belief systems and their experiences and try to meld the Bible together, but he's our supreme, you know, he's our final authority. And, absolutely. You know, I learned a long time ago that one of the convictions that a Christian should have is the Bible is the Word of God, and it's the final authority for my life. And I grasped that as a young fella in the Lord, and I've never let that go, and I really believe that. I believe his Word's far above any other, you know, authority. So
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I think the Bible says it's the pillar and ground of truth.
That's great.
I think that it's important to.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. So
I think it's really important just to always make sure to check things by that. And something you had said had really intrigued me that I'm probably going to want to follow up with you either at the end of this podcast, another podcast, or in between the two. But one thing that I do want to get back to is this idea of how mankind's understanding of aliens has really cost us so much, not just financially, but, you know, all of our mental space. Yeah. I mean, you think about how much people think about this stuff.
Yeah. I am by far no expert on the history and the research of aliens and things like that. Not that I put a lot of time and effort into it, but I think really there's always been the thoughts of that we're not alone. And, of course, you can go back to even, of course, Babylon is where all religion really began outside of the Christian, or the Lord, you know, out of the mm-hmm. walk with God and what we would call Judaism and today and Christianity, which, you know, is part of that. But
and that was Nimrod, right?
That is correct, and the idea was to create a tower of Babel, the Tower of Babel, a tower to heaven. You know, my pastor used to always say that it's probably a place that was to be able to design to withstand a flood. But the idea was a religious system that could get you to heaven based upon Nimrod's view, and Nimrod's son would be the savior. And this, of course, Nimrod's wife supposedly gets pregnant a couple of years after Nimrod dies, and by Nimrod, and he's supposed to be this half man, half god, and all these things, and. And then we see that the big major off of that, of course, is the Egyptian religion, and
mm-hmm.
and the sky is the father, and the earth is the mother, and they produce a child, and of course that's man, and you know, and that kind of thing, and you got the sun gods and all the different. And anyway, and so, so throughout religions, there's always been this possibility, or man thinks that there's people that live in the sky, gods. For the longest time, it was always gods. You know, mm-hmm. it's gods that live up there, and. And then, of course, the Greeks, of course, were that of the gods were on Mount Olympus, which was in the highest parts of their entire region at that time period. And
yep.
and so there's always been that. And I think in America, I think it is probably more probably after the 1940s and Roswell and all that, when it really started to take hold in America. So
yep, there was UFO sightings before that, but they were so few and far between.
Yeah,
and realistically, you see a big skyrocket, no pun intended, of UFO sightings right after the invention of the airplane.
Yep, exactly.
And then ever after Roswell happened, whenever we're kind of in that space race with the Soviets, jet propulsion and the new design of new aircraft, you see a huge spike, and it has never slowed down since then in America. What were you saying earlier about the number of percentages of, I forget what the number was.
There's a guy on YouTube, and I can't think of his name now, but he puts out a map that measured all the UFO sightings in the world since 1900. And I think he said 96% of them were in the United States.
That's crazy.
Alone. So, but of course, they're the most advanced in that area. And I know that for the longest time in the 1980s, there was that airplane flying, I think, from Japan to Alaska or somewhere out, maybe it was Washington or something like that. But, excuse me. And they had that black, they had like videotape of it or whatever, this black kind of jet or kind of weird looking UFO kind of fly alongside of them and then disappear.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, and they were like, it's a UFO. And for the longest time, people, but then you find out when the B-1 bomber and the stealth bomber and that kind of comes out in the the B-1, the B-2.
Those surveillance stealth craft.
They look just exactly like what they saw. And but we had had them for quite a long time. It's just that they didn't know about it at the time period. And having lived down by Scott Air Force Base and a couple of things that have happened down there. And so you do get these things that people see, and it's kind of sometimes hard to explain. And even like recently, the Navy, I think it is, it's come out and said that they have their pilots keep experiencing these kind of UFO kind of things. So they want to actually investigate it. And now the government's kind of got on board with this stuff. So, but anyway.
Yeah, that stuff is all kind of taken off lately. What was that? It was David Grush or whatever, was a whistleblower from the Air Force and testified to Congress. And he's been going through all the different podcasts. I think it's something interesting that you brought out about how these ideas of sky gods, what's really popular, and I'm sure if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you've seen this or listened or heard about it, rather, about this idea of the Anunnaki, that the men who lived in the sky, the half-lizard people who lived from a distant planet, and they came to Earth to give knowledge to man and elevate man. And if you've ever watched any of that History Channel crap that's all about ancient aliens or whatever it's called, that's kind of the main thesis, is the idea of some creature coming down to Earth to share knowledge with man. And he talked about how Nimrod was kind of the founder of that idea. And he was, he's either the great-grandson or the great-great-grandson of Noah.
I think great-grandson.
Yeah, I think, because I think it was...
Third, fourth generation, yeah.
So I want to say it was Noah, then Ham, then Cain, Canaan, rather, and then Nimrod was Canaan's son, I want to say.
Yeah, I don't think he was Canaan's son. Actually, I think it was a son of, I can't remember now. I think it was son of Japheth, though. Oh. I can't remember, but I'd have to look it up. But,
Yeah,
I think he'd have been the grandson of Japheth, I think, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Maybe it was Ham. It might be Ham. I can't remember. And,
Well, I'm probably the one who's wrong.
You know what? I will look it up.
That means you got Power Bible open right there. But while you do that, I'll go ahead and just keep talking, everybody.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the Egyptians believe kind of the same thing. And then you got different religions. And even one thing I think is really interesting that, it doesn't really tie into this, but something I found really interesting is whenever you study Native American religions, there's a culture called the Mississippi culture. That's around the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. And they have the same pantheon as the Egyptian gods. They have all the same gods. And then even a lot of like the Aztec gods are the same. I think that's really interesting because I know the Bible says that all these different religions go back to Egypt. And you think, well, what about the Native Americans who lived in North and South America for thousands of years? How would they ever know? They have the same gods. Weirdly enough, it's crazy. Whenever you really look at all the influence of what we considered European culture and North African culture on the U.S. Native American people, it's really, really strange. There's something we could talk about another time. It doesn't have, not important here, but what was the verdict?
Do I have to admit it now? And, actually, it was the son of Ham. Well, his grandson, great-grandson of Ham.
Ham's son.
Nimrod's daddy was Cush.
Oh, Cush. I was calling Cain.
Yeah, Cush. And of course, then Cain was his son Ham there. But anyway,
So I just looked it up a couple weeks ago, but my memory, I can't remember what I did this morning, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't either. Matter of fact, I had just looked it up here probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and for some reason I kept thinking it was Japheth, and I was thinking, oh, I got that wrong or something. I couldn't remember, but I just was looking to see because I had a thought or whatever. So
I think you and I were talking about a month ago.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Yeah. So
I think I asked you.
But any which way, though. But getting back to the whole alien subject, so go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I just was saying that, you know, this idea of people living in the sky, this idea of beings from another world passing knowledge on to man, has been a common theme through every one of the ancient civilizations. And that idea has always been around. And the question is that a picture of God or is it a picture of Satan giving man's wisdom to man? And realistically, people say that's aliens. Obviously, we don't believe in aliens, and we're going to get into why today. I really think that, like you had said earlier, it can't be stated enough. The Bible needs to be our foundation. It needs to be our center of truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if he gave us the word of God and said, this is my scripture to you, then that's an extension of him. And it should be the source of truth for us. So what does the Bible have to say about this?
Well, of course, the word aliens only exists like 3 times in the scripture. And
so they are in the scripture.
I can see Bigfoot in there too, but anyway.
Dustin's in there?
But he'd sure be excited that there was. But anyway, 3 different times, and one is in the Old Testament, 2 in the New Testament, and then, of course, you see the word alien like 6 different times in the Old Testament only. But in the Old Testament, the word for alien is quite an interesting word. I got it here. It's I'm not even going to pronounce it right. It's N-O-K-R-I-Y. You can see it there. I don't
know. Yergin?
Nokri? I think it's pronounced
Nokri.
I looked it up here. But anyway, it just simply means strange. It means like adulterous. It means like somebody that's foreign that doesn't belong there. So like, you know, if a man has a wife, but then he has an affair outside of that, that's a woman that doesn't belong. So that's why that word's used at that time period. If you have somebody that's, you know, part of the church, but they aren't saved, then they don't belong there, even though they're a part of that. Or, you know, if you put it in medical terms, it's somebody that they're sick, but then they got a foreign substance or a foreign problem in their body, you know, it's cells or whatever it may be, that it doesn't belong there, you know.
Sure.
And, so that's kind of the word. And in the New Testament, it's pretty similar, actually. The New Testament for the word alien here, there's a couple, actually, 2 of them. But it means to be, like, alienated or to be estranged or put away. And then, of course, the other is there in Hebrews 11. It says, quench the violence of fire and escape the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, wax valiant, and fight, and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. And that's kind of a same form of that, but it literally means not one's own.
So Hebrews 11, which is the Hall of Faith, right?
Hall of Fame of Faith, yes.
You're talking about fighting an alien war.
Yeah. So it literally means it's not one's own, but basically like another man's, another country.
So like an outside war, a foreign war.
So like if we get invaded by whenever we were invaded in Pearl Harbor, you know, by the Japanese, the air bombing, it was kind of a temporary invasion, not a real invasion, obviously, but like if they were a country land, then those were people that are not our own, so they would be considered aliens. And,
sure.
And we use that term pretty commonly today whenever we talk about people that aren't members of the United States and not citizens. We call them illegal aliens, you know, and so.
It's the same meaning.
Same terminology. However, though, obviously when we're talking about aliens in society, and most people's thought of aliens is that of like these foreign creatures that they're not born on the earth, they don't live in the earth, they don't inhabit the earth, but they visit our country or visit our world and really primarily south of the Mason-Dixon and anyway, and so they do that. But the truth of the matter is this is there are really kind of a couple of schools of thought on that. I've met some Christians who do believe in aliens. I personally think that I don't think that's biblical, and I'll explain why here in a minute. But I have Larry Brown used to always say, Brother Larry Brown, and he pastored a church in Iowa, and he used to always say that he, back in the 80s and stuff, he used to say that he believed that what a lot of people are seeing as far as like movements and stuff like that, like maybe what the Navy's seen and stuff of that nature. He believed those to be demons, you know. And for example, those Russian cosmonauts that supposedly saw angels and things like that, he believed that that kind of stuff, that they probably were seeing demons.
Oh, wow.
And so that's an interesting thought. And I could see that being possible. And I wouldn't necessarily split hairs with that and say, oh, I disagree or whatever. I think it's certainly possible. But I've always kind of leaned to the idea that a lot of what we experience here on this earth is either demonic like that, or it's actually government, and we just, it's so hidden. Because it's how many times we've seen it turn out to be 20 years later, the government has that same technology that, but it's been secret for all these years, and we just didn't know it.
You radar, know? Sonar, yeah, exactly. Stealth craft.
Yeah, exactly. And
now they're working on camouflage that replicates what's behind you, so you're invisible. It's like an invisibility cloak.
Yeah.
That's become popular.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and, scary.
So, could you imagine what kind of problems we'd have with people sneaking in the bathrooms and sneaking into places they shouldn't be?
Well, with the current laws, you can pretty much just go in, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, it's a scary thought with some of these things. But any which way, though. But now, the reason why I've never leaned to the idea of aliens being true is the Bible says in Genesis that Eve is the mother of all living. So either, number one, if there were aliens, they couldn't be alive. You know, so it'd have to be something else. The second thing is this, is it does, if that means that she's the mother of all living only upon this earth, but then why does it say that? And I know people would argue, well, God's living, and but again, it's a spiritual being. We're talking about, you know, physical beings.
Yeah, just to clarify, physical sentient life. I mean, she didn't give birth to trees, but trees aren't sentient.
Correct,
you know what I mean?
Correct.
So it's only physical sentient life.
Yeah. See, here's the thing is this, and this is why evolution, like people, Christians who believe in like the gap theories and stuff like that, and they believe in God used evolution to create the heaven and the earth. What you're doing is you're putting death before life. You know, or death before sin. And so once sin entered the world, death entered the world. Okay, so sin entered into the universe by Satan, and it entered into the world by man.
Okay.
Okay, so Satan had been, he's the father of sin. The Bible says he's a liar in the beginning and the father of it. He's the father of sin. He created sin. God is our father because he created us. He created the world. He created everything. And so Satan created sin. So it enters in the universe, and then, of course, through the temptation of Eve and then Adam willfully taking, it enters into mankind, enters into our world. And
sure.
It was in the universe before that.
And maybe we should do a podcast just specifically on, you know, why we believe in a literal seven-day creation and talk about that.
Correct.
Maybe we should do that.
Yeah. Now, once sin enters into man, then death is the result. It's the punishment. Because the Bible says it's the wages of sin is death. So once that happens, now death is possible. So there's no way death could be possible without first there be the wages of sin. So there has to be sin to make death possible. So whenever Satan fell and he drew a third of the angels with him, or we assume it's the angels because Bible says stars, but same word basically, and as angel. And so he draws a third of those with him. When he does that, those are all damned. The Bible says that the hell that man and you know mankind has to go into was a place prepared for the devil and his angels. So once sin entered into the universe through Satan, now there's a place prepared to damn them. That's, you know, Satan, and it's prayed for Satan, and the devil and his angels. Then once it's entered to us, now death has entered us. And, of course, hell will be the eternity for people who reject Christ, obviously, who don't get saved. And then, so now we have death into this thing. So if Eve's the mother of all living, and like you said, whatever word you use, sentient, is that what you said?
Sentient, yep.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. But
it means like thinking, aware, conscious, has a soul.
Sure, sure. And I like that. And so now, because of that, now sin, there's death, you know, that comes into thing. And here's the thing is this, is if she's the mother of all living, does that mean aliens too? Does that mean, you know, mother of all living throughout the universe, or is it just limited to the earth?
That's a good question.
And why does the scripture say that she's the mother of all living? Why didn't it say just the mother of all living on the earth or whatever? So I've always ascribed, I don't know, I've always kind of ascribed that verse to mean that it meant just all living, like she was the producer of life. I'm not really, you know, life form, like you said, humankind, human life, And of course, God obviously created animals, things like that. But because of the curse of sin, then it's placed upon all people and all animals. Even all, everything dies. Even trees and plants and everything else will die. And again, part of the sin being brought into this world.
Sure.
And so, and any which way, though. But so that's kind of the idea and of that. And so I just think that until somebody can really show from the scripture that it's possible that there's life outside of, you know, what Eve was the mother of, I just don't believe, outside of spiritual life, obviously, through God, but I just don't believe that there would be any grounds in the Bible for aliens as we would identify today, like what you see on TV and movies and stuff like that. However, I do believe it's a tool of the devil, though.
So. That's pretty good. You know, something else that, you know, another interesting thought is if Eve was the mother of all living, if Jesus died on the cross for our sin and there's other aliens, does his sacrifice cover ours? Yeah, or would it have to go there?
Yeah, I just say, would it cover somebody living on the planet, you know, whatever, you know, Alpha Centauri or something of nature, or, you know, or some kind of star or planet or something. And, you know, so like you said, it would be kind of interesting thought. And then if that's the case, then why would he, you know, would he have to be crucified again if those people had died and or it was sin, you know, had sinned? In that case there, then is the scripture true when it says that he had to, you know, he only has to be crucified once? And, you know, it's just an interesting thought. And I think if you're not careful, you can lose balance and not rightly divide the word of truth. And I think even if there were aliens like people think that they are, or some people might think that they are, whatever you see on television, stuff like that, it really, to be honest with you, it shouldn't change anything with you. Because it's just, I mean, it's just one of those things that you got to have to serve God. You're going to the only way to heaven is through Jesus. The Bible's his word. It's true. It's proven to be true countless times over. The prophecies just keep coming true. And anyway, and so through all that, you know, you still have to do that. So even if the other were true, then those would be questions God would answer when we get to heaven. You know, but until then, I don't think it's anything to be worried about. However, though, I think it will be a tool of the devil to explain a lot of things away come the end times. So,
I was going to ask you that. You said you believe it's a tool of the devil. You believe it's specifically related to the end times, though?
I think so. I think it's interesting that the concept of aliens has really taken hold in the last 50 to 80, maybe you could even say the last 100 years. I know, was it one guy said, was it 1870s or 1880s? There was a lot of people noting these spiritual phenomena, and they were saying maybe it could be aliens and things like that. And there was several of them throughout the United States and that. But really, you see the last probably 70, 80, 100 years really kind of taking hold in America. And the last, you know, 40 or 50 years, how many alien movies have been huge. I remember in the 70s, maybe early 80s, forget. I was born in 1970, so, I mean, you know, it's quite a ways back. But there was Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and there was, you know, all these other alien movies. And then, of course, you get into the Star Wars trilogies and well, whatever they are these days. But anyway, though, with all that, and then all these alien abduction movies and that type of thing. So I think that's all a foundation to desensitize us to explain away the rapture when it occurs. And so I think with the government pushing things on and that kind of thing, I think whenever, because what will happen is this, is when the rapture occurs, you're going to have however many born-again believers leave this earth almost instantaneously. And some will be doing things. I know at one particular time, airlines, several airlines had policies that they would never let two Christian pilots fly at the same time, fly a plane at the same time, for fear if the rapture did happen, then there'd be nobody left to fly a plane to land it, you know.
It's kind of smart and scary at the same time when you think about it.
It is. And but nevertheless, though, it would be ideal. They're all Christian, and, you know, but nevertheless, though, you know, there was those kinds of things that had taken place or supposedly had taken place and so you have this, that when the rapture happens, all these people are going to disappear. Well, how do you explain that? You know, you got people that can go, them religious crazy people, them nuts were right. You know, there was a rapture and that. However, though, if you see at the end of the book, at the end of Revelation, there in the book, or excuse me, the end of the tribulation period in the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about how all the armies of the world gathered at Megiddo, in the Valley of Megiddo, to fight in what we would know the last battle on the earth, the Battle of Armageddon. Who are they gathering to fight? The Bible says they're gathering to fight God. Why are they gathering to fight God unless they believe that he's an alien? You know, unless they believe that their loved ones were abducted by aliens.
I get you.
You know, and so I could see something like that being a great tool. I mean, I'm not saying that's exactly what it's going to be, but it sure would make a lot of sense, and you know, and that kind of thing. I've often thought that maybe pandemic stuff and that kind of thing would work into that, because then, you know, who's this, you know.
Quarantining?
Yeah. Like, if my mom and dad, I believe my mom and dad are saved, okay? So let's just take, for example, say my mom and dad aren't saved, but they think they're saved. But then the rapture happens, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, the rapture happened. My mom and dad are going to go, oh, my gosh, maybe I wasn't saved, because my son, all his kids, his wife, they're all gone. However, though, if that rapture happens during a time period where there's a lot of quarantining going on, and you can't travel, a lot of death, and all these diseases and the pandemics going on, then if they say, well, we wanted to find out, I want to check on my son up there in Charles City, Iowa. I'm sorry, he and his whole family are gone. They must have died, and they buried him in a mass grave. When this pandemic's over with, we're going to put a big commemorative thing up and a memorial up, and y'all can come visit. They would never even know the rapture happened.
Exactly.
You know?
And I want to talk more about that, about your idea of what's going to happen in the end times, the tools of the devil. I really want to know. But
I don't know if I know it. So.
Number one, we're running low on time. And number two, I feel like, to me, this is kind of how it's an analogy for me. It's like a king-size candy bar that you just don't got time to finish eating. So you wrap the wrapper over the top, and you save the rest for later, right?
Oh,
so,
sure. Yeah, that's an idea.
Well, it's not usually something I do, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, I do want to get into that, but
yeah.
I think that might be something for another day.
And there's other ideas out there. I'm not saying that's exactly how to be. I'm just simply saying those are ideas that could be possibilities of how to explain away a rapture, because the Bible says God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Sure.
And that means, and if it were possible, deceive the very elect, you know, so... yeah, exactly. So I think it's something we definitely could address another time.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, they got it, folks. No such thing as aliens, proven by the Bible. One verse, one phrase, basically, disproves this entire line of thinking that's been consuming the popular media for the last 1,800 years. Oh, one verse.
Yeah. I know there's some verses out there that people try to twist and say that, you know, that, this goes to prove there's aliens and stuff, but I think there are a lot of different ways to look at that verse, and I think, again, it's about rightly dividing the word of truth. What has been God's way that he's shown through the scriptures? What have we seen? What has he revealed to us? What's been his practice? And consistently, there's never anything about aliens. You see things about angels, you see things about, you know, the angel of the Lord, and you see things about, you know, that kind of stuff, but never anything like that. So,
one of the things you did say is you think a lot of it's demonic, and one of the things you said, I don't know, maybe... I don't necessarily know if I 100% believe that and stuff like that, but one thing I think is really interesting is what's been going on, and maybe you guys don't know this yet or not, but some of the people that I've heard talk about this stuff is, in like the last 5 or 10 years, people have really been switching to this idea that aliens are no longer from another planet. They live here on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
But they're from a different dimension. Hmm. And so they're crossing over in our dimension.
Hmm.
And it's like, huh. Spiritual beings crossing. Who would have thought?
Yeah, exactly.
That's only gone for a long time.
Yeah, that would be demons, exactly.
Anyway, there you got it, folks. Hopefully, this gives you guys some answers. Hopefully, it spurns a lot of peace for you, knowing that we are not necessarily alone, because there is God, there is the angels, and unfortunately, there's also Satan and the demons. So we're not the only creatures alive, but we are God's creation.
Yeah, and again, we're not trying to attack anybody.
Oh, absolutely not.
I approach things as being I always try to approach things like being a student. And so even if somebody I completely disagree with, I'm very interested to know what they know and why they believe what they believe. Because I'm a student, I want to know how they come to that position, how they come to that, you know, how they determine that. Because, I mean, who knows, I could be wrong on something. So I've always been kind of be teachable about things and stuff.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, though, I don't let myself be moldable until I know that it's something that's been proven to be true. And the scripture has that power over my life, and I try to let myself be moldable to that. If I was better at it, I'd be a whole lot better. But I'm still trying.
One of the things I like to do is like to see how they got to that idea, because understanding that path to me is just as important as understanding the end result.
Oh, I do too. I agree 100%. I think it's wise. Otherwise, you get into, here's what will happen. You get into a pride contest, and now we're debating, and now we're arguing and fighting and trying to make each other look like we're wrong and not right.
How is that spiritual?
How is that spiritual? You know, you and I can completely disagree about something and still be friendly and talk about it, and instead of, you know, calling each other names. And people who do that stuff all the time, and then they try to act like that the Spirit of God's with them. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't see that. You know, I just don't think that's wise. And I just don't want to go down that path. And
I agree.
I don't want to fight with people. And the Bible makes it very clear that if you got a problem with somebody, it's the weapons are that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, mm-hmm. and but against principalities and powers and stuff. And so your enemy is not people. It's the devil and his angels. And
absolutely.
And so, you know, so exactly. But we keep going long here, and we thought we'd be a short one on this one, and it turned out probably be a little bit longer. So
I secretly thought I'd probably be a two-parter. So
yeah.
And realistically, it's going to be a two-parter because we're going to talk about really, it's probably going to switch in like a 15-parter because, surprise, at some point we're going to get into Revelations.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's all going to tie together, maybe. Who knows? We don't know yet.
Yeah. I think Revelation, we would be here all forever going through that, but we could give just a brief overview, kind of like what I've done in church before, just for fun.
Sure.
Whatever. And
what I want to do is I want to get what you think your view of how things are going to go start to stop and look at how it lines up with the Bible. I think that'd be fun. And I'm going to get you off camera before you tell me no, because then it's binding. So anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in today. Stay tuned. We're going to cover things, like I said, Revelations. We had a meeting today talking about top 10 subjects we want to cover going forward, and I got green-lighted on all of them, so I've got a lot of things to build. At least he does, at least as far as he knows, I got green-lighted. As far as I know, I got green-lighted.
The Revelation one will be down the road.
Like I said, though, I'm going to get you off camera before you say anything, because I want
to... I don't have to be down the road,
yeah.
So
we got a lot of things planned we're going to cover here. Stay tuned. I hope this has been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to us. It's been a lot of fun. By the way, somebody sent us mics. Thank you. We've been remodeling a little bit, as you can tell, the beautiful wall. And you can't see this wall, but it's beautiful. And, well, they're more beautiful than were. Still need to do trim work, still need to, you know, get some spit polish on there. But it's working, it's getting there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys for everything. And thank you for coming in today, Dad, Pastor.
Absolutely.
Little Timmy, whoever's talking to you, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And anyway, thanks for coming in today. It's a good time. Thank you for talking about aliens and the importance of understanding what an alien is.
Absolutely. No problem, and thank you.
Maybe next week we'll talk about the between grays and the greens and the elf aliens, and we'll get into all of them, the lizard ones. And
that's a little too much for me. So.
Yeah, well, maybe we just prove they don't really exist the way we think they do. So there you go.
I think just stick to what you know. You got a concrete Bible in front of you.
Exactly.
Stick with that, you're going to be fine. So.
Exactly. Anyway, guys, thank you again for tuning in. Remember, bytheblood.org, our website. We have a huge archive of messages up there. If you want to hear what the sermons sound like, if you want to get in contact with us, it's going to be the easiest way. Our email, you click the contact, takes you right to my email. Shoot me an email. We'll get you taken care of. If you got any questions for the podcast, feel free to reach out. We really would love to cover. We like I said, we've got a bunch of subjects we want to talk about, but we would much rather pause everything to talk about what you need. We're doing this for you. We're doing this to help you. We're doing this for the glory of God. So if you have anything you want to know about, please let us know. We'll get you an answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is meant to further God and further your wisdom. Also, on the radio, locally, our local radio station, 95.9 KCHA, every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, podcast. You can find us on Podbean. You can find us on Spotify, maybe Apple. I did actually talk, quick update. I know we got to get out of here, but a quick update on our Apple app, on our church app on the Apple Play Store and the Google Play Store. We're going to get that done. I actually already have it all done, ready to go. Our onboarding specialist is taking care of getting all the D's, all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. So hopefully here in the next week or two, we'll have that up and I'll plug it then. I might even get like one of those 3D scan things I'll put on the wall, so that way you can pause the video and get it and go. We'll figure it out. But anyway, guys, that's all we got for the day. Remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.